Hello everyone, we're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, and we're reading from The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, page 32 in Kabbalah for the Student, titled From Above Downwards. You can ask questions as always on kop.tv.
Baal Salam explains to us in the beginning of the article, what is the wisdom of Kabbalah? Revelation of reality to the human being. It's a wisdom that reveals all of humanity to the person. The entire reality is all in all as the revelation of the Creator, including to that same person. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is the wisdom of revelation of the Creator to the person that deals with it, that engages in it. In other words, there is an upper force. This upper force does certain actions, and these actions, they come to a person as a result of these actions, of this upper force, and the person, through these actions of the upper force upon him, he begins to attain. Who is he? What are the actions? And eventually, who is the upper force? So, the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us all of these things together. So, all in all, in reality, we have nothing that's not included in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because all in all, it teaches us about the actions of the upper force, how he created, how he designed, how he leads his creation through different stages, and leads it towards its end, its purpose. From that, it's clear to us that this is the most important wisdom for all human beings. And there are periods of time that it's more revealed or less. And also you should understand that what that was created, it was all for that purpose. It is for a person to discover the upper force in completeness. And this revelation that a person goes through in order to discover this upper force, it is two stages, from above downwards and from below upwards. Now we're learning about this state called from above downwards.
It is known that at the end of the act is in the preliminary thought. Before one begins to think about how to build a house, one contemplates the apartment in the house, which is the purpose. Subsequently, one examines the blueprint to make it suitable for this task. So it is with our matter. Once we have learned about the purpose, it is also clear to us that all the conducts of creation, in its every corner, inlet, and outlet, are completely prearranged for the purpose of nurturing the human species from its midst, to improve its qualities until it can sense godliness as one feels one's friend. These ascensions are like rungs of a ladder, arranged degree by degree, until it is completed and achieves its purpose. And you should know that the quality and quantity of these rungs is set in two realities. One, the existence of material substances, and two, the existence of spiritual concepts. In the language of Kabbalah, they are called from above downwards and from below upwards. This means that the corporeal substances are a sequence of disclosure of His light from above downwards, from the first source when a measure of light was cut off from His essence and was restricted Tzimtzum by Tzimtzum until the corporeal world was formed off it, with corporeal creatures at its very bottom.
Is that clear? Okay, so there are no questions. Is that because it's clear or because it's unclear? In short, there's a process that begins with the light and ends in matter. Okay? It's called from above downwards. What do you want? Yes.
Is it correct to say that if the light passes through all the restrictions from above down to our world, then the form of love of friends is the minimal form of the revelation of the Creator for us?
You can say that, but it's not how you speak. The fact that in love of friends lies the force of the Creator that activates him and that acts through him, that is correct. That what is revealed eventually is the force of the light. Even in the worst will to receive, there is the force of the light. And what is revealed in general is just force. There is no matter. Matter is also a desire. I want. We never identify something that doesn't move, that doesn't influence, that doesn't bestow, that doesn't receive, that doesn't change. You can't. We feel every single thing through its action, and without the action it disappears. It's like these tiny particles, the elementary particles or the atoms. They can't exist in rest. If it's in rest, then it just disappears. You can't stop it. Because the foundation of every single thing is a lack. And the lack is what forces movement. And therefore, what we reveal is not the matter itself, but the actions of the matter. There is no such thing a desire in a way that it itself exists. But the desire exists in what it's revealed, in what it wants, with respect to who it wants. Okay? Okay. Yes.
So what does it mean by the first source from which a portion of light was cut off?
That from above to below, it was organized through degrees, stages, that in them the light diminishes, and it reaches lower and lower states, degrees, that in these degrees the lights illuminate in the vessels in a more and more concealed manner until it reaches our state, that each and every one of us is also a kli, a vessel, that the light shines in. But the light is called a tiny illumination. It's a very, very... And in accordance, the vessel itself is very, very small. Go on.
You spoke one moment before that the reality of the material substances is the order of the revelation from above downwards. And you say that the substances are not actual substance. What did you mean when you said it's not really corporeal substance?
Because we think that corporeal substance is a piece of metal. That it's something, right? like this mouse pad. Well, that's not the way it is. I'm telling you, every single thing comes to us in a... How do you see a desire? You don't see objects, you see desires, actions. Let's continue.
Title, From Below Upwards. Afterwards begins an order of from below upwards. These are all the rungs of the ladder by which the human race develops and climbs up to the purpose of creation. These two realities are explained in their every detail in the wisdom of Kabbalah.
In other words, we have what we call Ein Sof, from Ein Sof until this world. There is from above downwards and from below upwards. They are both on the completely comparable. Just one is from above to below, that comes through the light that lowers the degrees. And from here, from below, this is where we begin. This is the place of our birth. And from it upwards is where we begin to grow, to rise. So there is Ibur, Yenika, and Mochin.
Yes. So Uriel from Elat is asking, what is the connection between his restriction towards us in the development from above downwards and the restriction that the creature does when he climbs up?
Again?
What is the connection between the restriction of the Creator from above downwards and the restriction the creature does from below upwards?
They have to be equal. To the extent the Creator restricts himself from above to below, in accordance, I have to restrict myself from below to above. Direct light, returning light, right? He reaches this point here. And he gave all of this part to me, that I'll do something with it. And in this part, I have to do something. I have to make myself similar to him. The more he gives me, the less I have to work.
Pasha from Moscow is asking, how do you distinguish the action of the light from the action of the desire?
The light is always first. It activates us. It leaves us only a single point of freedom of choice. That we can use it, we can use the environment and do our own action. Yes?
Scott from the UK, what does it mean to see a desire in spirituality, to see the desire?
This is a certain kind of psychology. We see in every place, no matter where, we see only a desire. Only a desire. Trees, rocks, stones, animals, doesn't matter what. It's all desires divided into still vegetative, animate, and speaking. And in every part of these, you have many, many individual parts, separate parts.
He says, I see a car in this world. So how does it look in spirituality?
In spirituality, there is a certain carriage. Doesn't matter if it's a rocket or a car or a plane or really a carriage. It doesn't matter. Because the carriage has a spiritual root. There can't be something in our world that doesn't have a spiritual root, that doesn't come from man's imagination. And all of these forms, they come from above. And then a person in our world, it's as if he invents something, but he doesn't invent a thing. Yes.
What motivates the process itself when we go higher is basically pleasures, to replace pleasures. Now, we're a kind of energy and we require these pleasures, well, of course, with other intentions.
That's the whole difference. Purpose of creation is to benefit, to enjoy, but to enjoy what? Doesn't matter what, as long as you enjoy yourself infinitely. The Creator has a purpose. I'll create the creature, and the creature needs to reach a level of satisfaction like my own. Why? Because I love him in advance. Before I even created him, I already love him. I'm already concerned about him. It's just like the king who wanted to build his son all these different buildings and all of that, and for him when he grows up and so on, so he pre-prepared it. The Creator is the same. From love, the cause of creation is love and infinite love. Therefore, we need to reach a state that we're able to accept this love, and we'll be able to accept it if we open ourselves without any limitation. And that's what we're reaching. That's all of our corrections. Nothing other than that. You have an infinite treasure that you need to accept, to receive it. That's your entire work. The fact that you don't want it, you don't understand, you're like a little lazy, stubborn kid, fine. But you must. Go on.
This pleasure is basically a sense of wholeness. When we go higher, we get a greater latitude in which we want to feel that wholeness. What is this thing? That is, why do I want to be in wholeness?
You come from the same love of the Creator, from the same desire of the Creator, that you'll accept it and receive it. And when you receive it, it will be in equivalence of form, that you'll be like Him, that you'll enjoy His status. So it turns out that you constantly yearn and yearn for something, that you're never satisfied until you don't reach the end. That same endless light, that's called the end of the act, starts from a preliminary thought. So that endless light that appears in the infinite kli at the end, that is in the first place existing, and that is what determines how all of humanity should advance and in what way.
What's it for? Why is it like that? Well, what do we get out of all this?
Because he wants to benefit. Look how many times you have to renew this. Let's continue.
Title: Necessity to Study Kabbalah. An opposer might say, therefore, this wisdom is for those who have already been rewarded with a measure of godly revelation. But what necessity can the majority of the people have for knowledge in this sublime wisdom?
It's the fact that we come across, you know, if you want to study Kabbalah, then study it quietly. Why are you trying to stick it down everyone's throat?
However, there is a common opinion that the prime goal of religion and the Torah is only the cleansing of actions, that all that is desired concerns observing the physical mitzvot, commandments, without any additions or anything that should result from it. Had that been so, Those who say that studying the revealed and practical actions alone is sufficient would be right. Yet, this is not the case. Our sages have already said, why should the Creator mind if one slaughters at the throat or at the back of the neck? And that, after all, the mitzvot were given only to cleanse people. Thus, there is a purpose beyond the observance of the actions, and the actions are merely preparations for the purpose. Hence, clearly, if the actions are not arranged for the desired goal, it is as if nothing exists.
In other words, it's not a problem to do the actions, but what do you want from this application? The person has to change. If you'll tell me, do this, do this, do that, I'll be taught. That's called childhood, Gilsa Deankuta. It's like childhood education. That's what it is. Like, people got educated. They were told, do this, do that. That's called mitzvot, commandments, and they do it. Not that we're against that. No, God forbid. Of course not. But what is the benefit from doing that? That's what you need to ask. Not that it should make you stop doing these things, but you need to add to your actions the intention, the goal, the purpose. What are you doing this for? And that is the problem. And if all this is clear, that the deeds should not be done for the desired goal, it's as if nothing exists. That if it's arranged for the right result or not, is it? And it's also written in the Zohar, mitzvah without an aim is like a body without a soul. Hence, the aim too should accompany the act. And that is what we're learning. How can we arrange our intention and add it to the action, and actually every single action in the person? And the intention should be love thy friend, or love. That in every single action you want to reach bestowal, love of the others, and through it to love of the Creator. And it's also, it is clear that the aim should be a true aim worthy of the act. As our sages said about the verse, and I will set you apart from the people, that ye should be mine, so your separation will be for my name. Let not one say, pork is impossible. Rather, let one say, it is possible. But what can I do? My Father in heaven has sentenced me. Thus, if one avoids pork because of abomination or because of some bodily harm, this aim does not help at all, for it is to be considered a mitzvah, unless one has a unique and proper intention that the Torah forbade. So it is with every mitzvah, and only then is one's body gradually purified by observing the mitzvot.
Meaning, whatever he does, he must always be aimed at bringing contentment to the Creator. Otherwise, it's the opposite. The opposite, the other way around. What does it mean? That darkness comes instead of light, and then one becomes a bat instead of a rooster. And then he's drawn to all kinds of problems, behaviors that are true and good, and correct. And so as a result, there's a decline of the generations, and it's all because we're not properly aiming all their actions. Yeah.
So if I eat pork, if I don't eat pork, according to what
this
he says,
I don't know.
I'm reading what he says, not what I say. He says the intention does not allow him anything because he is not considered a mitzvah unless one has the unique and proper intention that the Torah forbade. So if I'm not eating pork, I have to have intentions. That's what he's saying here. It's not enough not to eat pork.
It's not enough that you don't just eat pork. It doesn't matter. It's not that you don't do an action. There are actions that you can influence for the benefit of others and for the benefit of the Creator, and there are actions that, to begin with, you can't influence for the benefit of others and the Creator. You can't influence them because you still can't attain the light that reforms for it. You see, there are desires in you, such desires called pork. Within you, there's a pork that lives. The whole world lives within you. So a part of your desires is called a pork. You cannot direct your desire to receive in order to bestow. You can't use that desire. You're forbidden to use it. Also, you can use it only in a certain aspect. You can't eat it. You can use its skin, or use its hair to make a toothbrush, or whatever it is. Do anything, but don't eat it. Why? Because eating refers to receiving the pleasures in order to bestow. And you can't do it. The external pleasures from the light, from the skin, sorry, and so forth. Yes. But in the final correction, when the great light comes to you and you'll be able to receive anything in order to bestow, then you won't have these limitations. Also, these actions of receiving in order to bestow, that are called eating a pork, you'll be able to do them. All our world is a copy. These are hints to the upper world of the desires that you can and cannot use.
You have to
prepare each and every desire for its correct use. You can't just take a piece of flesh. You need to make it kosher and cook it and those levels of how much it is ready or not. With plants, there's the orla, the fallow year in vegetables, and the orla in the fruits, actually, and so forth. What are these limitations? These are limitations over your will to receive, saying in what way you can or cannot use it until the final correction. And in the final correction, it's the final correction. Everything's finally corrected. So you can use all the desires in order to bestow. No limitations. Yes.
When you sometimes tell us, do intentions. The intention that I do, that we do, does that work? Does that do anything, this intention, as long as I'm not in bestowal?
The fact that you want to be connected with others in one bond, and as a result bring contentment to the Creator, and by all of you together making room for Him to be revealed, because that's His pleasure, to be revealed, and you want that revelation to be for Him and not for you, this is the inclusive, greatest mitzvah. If you're thinking about that, there's no greater mitzvah. And this is called coming to the light of faith that he writes about in the introduction to Tess. That if you do so, there is no greater commandment. He writes about it in item 17, yeah.
So every simple person can do the intention that works, that draws the light. You don't have to be in bestowal to do that. That's what you're saying?
Well, look, I've lost my strength to explain. Just read the introduction to Tess and that's it. Yes.
Avishai from Yokneam says, I understand that you have to give contentment to the maker, but in my sensation I'm doing it to myself.
So towards the friends, exercise on the friends, practice with the friends. Yes, Gershon.
Rising in the degrees, well, the main means is annulment towards the upper, towards the group, as we learn. That my aim when I annul to them is to discover the force of love and bestowal. Now the question is, there are endless opportunities all the time. So when I go and do this action, if I'm in luck, then I penetrate that action with the maximum intention. And it's for a minute, for a second. And then what happens? There's not enough strength to maintain it, to hold on to it. And then, from what I understand, then my actions turn me into a bat. I start enjoying the action, I start thinking of myself. Where is the foundation? When do you reach a foundation of intention that you can start from?
Practice in the group. I got nothing else to say. Only practice in the group. That's it. Let's continue. You guys are asking questions that only show me one thing. I have no other answer. As much as you try to turn it around, I won't give you any other advice. Did you put enough effort in the group? If you did, then you would have discovered the answer already. Both you and Tsuka.
Hence, the study of physical conducts is not enough. We need to study those things that produce the desirable intention, to observe everything with faith in the Torah and in the giver of the Torah, that there is a judgment and there is a judge. Who is foolish as to not understand that faith in the Torah and in reward and punishment, which have the power to yield this great thing, require much study in the proper books. Thus, even before the act, a study that purifies the body is required to grow accustomed to faith in the Creator, His law, and His providence. Our sages said about that, I have created the evil inclination, I have created for it the Torah as a spice. They did not say, I have created for it the mitzvot as a spice, since your guarantor needs a bondsman himself. As the evil inclination desires licentiousness and will not let him keep to the mitzvot.
Meaning, before we do each and every action, we have to equip ourselves with the right intention. And if we don't have the right intention, then we need to engage both in what the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us, in order to draw the light that reforms. And this work is a group work, because the evil inclination is what prevents us from connecting together. I've created the evil inclination, means that we discover the mutual resistance, rejection, and then we need the force of the Torah. I created the spice of Torah. And then the light of Torah comes, corrects the evil inclination, and then we receive for the first time our spiritual kli, from which we already begin to work. And we each time grow that kli further and further.
Scott from England is asking, where is the intention in the man? Where is it? In his heart, in his mind? Where is the intention?
In the rosh of the patsuf. But it's not that this head of this patsuf, of this face.
Timur from St. Petersburg is asking, how to make all of our actions, our lessons, the workshops, the building, how to make them not turn into a habit, to mitzvot without the desired intention?
It depends on how people are concerned about that and remind to each other. We have to do all we can, and the rest is the Creator. I don't think that you'll be able to sit quietly and that's it. You'll each time get a slap from a side that you don't expect, and that's how you'll advance. Progress can only happen through troubles. And if you're not looking for from yourselves, for where else can I improve myself, then the discernments from above will come in different ways. Something will happen to you in life, this, that. And it's all the time that way until the final correction.
Baal Sulam here talks about those who study Kabbalah. And we really are getting more and more value to this term called intention. Now, in humanity, that value does not exist. Now, my question is, should it exist? How does humanity advance? Because there is value only for a physical action.
Humanity can't move forward by intentions. It's truly only a physical action for them. We are the Rosh, Israel li Rosh. That's why we have the intentions and they the actions.
And this, what, is the purpose? Also, at the end of correction, it's that way?
In the final correction, everything connects together. But, indeed, they receive greater revelation and a rosh, but from us.
So let's say we do the intention. Does the value, does it remain for them? Does it appear? Do they have to demand from us to do the right intention because they are unable to?
Yes. Yes, of course.
How do they get this value? For them now it's nothing. It's, you know, it's fiction.
They'll feel it. This is what's called, and the nations of Israel shall carry Israel to the temple. That's how it is. 2 degrees that are working together. Yeah.
Title, Torah as a spice. The Torah is the only spice to annul and subdue the evil inclination. As our sages said, the light in it reformed them.
Meaning, do not expect to get anything else. I can run around in the streets, connect people, bring them workshops, it doesn't matter. And do all kinds of physical actions, organize, build, break, whatever. And none of that, none of that will change anything. Only one thing will. If I gather people and they yearn for a connection, and I, them, doesn't matter, but there's an intention to reach connection here, and in this connection to discover the Creator. Then, in that case, the light that reforms is at work. Only in that circumstance. And that is called, I created the evil inclination, and I created the Torah as a spice, for the light in it reforms. It has to work that way. There can't be any other way. There can't be any correction if not by the light. Yeah.
The majority of the words of the Torah are for study. This reconciles why the Torah speaks at length on parts that do not concern the practical part, but only the study, meaning the introduction to the act of creation. These are the whole of the books, Bereshit, Genesis, Shemot, Exodus, and most of Dvarim, Deuteronomy. And needless to say, legends and commentaries, yet since they are what the light is stored in, his body will be purified, the evil inclination subdued, and he will come to faith in the Torah and in reward and punishment. This is the first degree in the observance of the work. Title, Commandment is a candle, and the teaching is light. It is written, for the commandment is a candle, and the teaching is light. As one who has candles but no light to light them sits in the dark, one who has mitzvot but no Torah sits in the dark. This is because the Torah is light, by which the darkness in the body is illuminated and lit up.
The goof refers to The body refers to our will to receive. It has to take on the right intention, and then the light, according to the equivalence with the intention, shines into the desire, and then a person will feel life on a new spiritual degree. What we feel right now is felt through our current senses, five senses, not five sfirot, not five levels of the will to receive, simply five senses, bodily senses, corporeal, beastly senses. As it is written, they all seemed as beasts, because we work with a small will to receive in order to receive incorporeality. And so what we perceive in this small will to receive is our entire life. Whereas by the light that reforms, we begin to qualify our vessels. The will to receive spirituality, the Creator, to control the group and so forth. We correct these desires from in order to receive to in order to bestow. And then we come to a spiritual will to receive. And in it, we begin to feel and sense spiritual phenomena within us, within this new greater desire that exceeds the boundaries of this world, these dimensions. And most importantly, is not that it's bigger, but that it's different. It's all in order to bestow. And then in this new kli, we feel a new reality. And that is called the spiritual world. So only by the Torah, which influences, and that's called the light that reforms, can we correct our desires and feel the upper dimension in them. Yep.
Email from Rehovot says, Torah isn't just a book.
What do you mean? It wasn't in a book. When Moses received the Torah, was it a book or not? Even the literal sense is not a book. It was rocks. We have to understand what these rocks or stones represent. It's actually a representation of the stony heart that are becoming corrected. But in any case, when was it a book? Did you ever see a book? Where did you see the book? In the bookstore? So, of course, it wasn't like that. The Torah is a book that was written by Moses with his people. And that was all written based on a revelation, based on attainment. A person who discovered all this, just like all the books of Kabbalists. Only what he wrote contains a special force, because his attainment is the greatest. The greatest that can be until the final correction.
Like Nir from Talmud is asking, what is the light that reforms? In a simple explanation.
I feel that I change for the better. All of a sudden I have a higher appreciation of the friends. I begin to feel that I'm drawn to them, that I appreciate them, that I respect them more. I feel that I value our engagement and what we're doing, which is, after all, greater, higher than everything. Where does it come to me from? Not from the world. If I look at the world, there's no reason for that. These are results from the light that reforms. If I advance more, what will be the phenomenon that I'm capable of cutting off something from me and giving it to the friend, on the condition that I have something left later on, even if I don't have anything left, and I'm happy that I'm now willing to do something without getting anything in return. And so on and so forth. All of these are results of the influence of the light that reforms. But we never actually see the light. We discover the phenomena based on it, that result from it. So then you can see the people in our world and how their actions are aimed, whether it's towards mysticism or habits or some other things, or that in each and every stage they're very focused on making actions through love of others to achieve love of the Creator. Basically, in love of others, we can measure and test the person, whether he works for the benefit of the public entirely. And not to work for his own will to receive. This is the or for his own public. This is his own ego. If he works for one public at the account of other people. But just like the good that does good for the good, for the evil and for the righteous, towards everyone. So that is also a result of the light that reforms. Unfortunately, we don't see these examples in our world.
Timur from St. Petersburg is asking, in the American Congress we got Kabbalistic terms explained for integral education. Why did it succeed in that Congress, and can we continue it?
We can continue on that, and we will. And it succeeded because they were united. Because they were unified, that's why it succeeded.
Yeah. Dario from Guadalajara is asking, after the American Congress, what should we now focus on in our day-to-day life in order to support the friends that are building the new home and all the other actions that are happening?
Now we indeed need to enter the new building. It's the main work we have here. And then we have to prepare for the February convention. And these are the two next deadlines that we have to aim ourselves towards. And in between, there are a few little things.
There were some questions. What are the friends who were sitting there overseas? What can they do in order to support?
I very much expect that after this convention in the U.S. and Canada and in the South American countries, Latin America, I really hope that they'll take both the dissemination of Kabbalah and integral education into their hands and really try to succeed in working together and see a real breakthrough. I think that we need to kind of reorganize the education center and to have as many branches of it possible and many people working in it, because without the foundation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we cannot train teachers. And we have to be, as a kingdom of priests, teachers for the whole of humanity. So we have to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah, and we have to pull people into the wisdom of Kabbalah and try to make teachers from all of them for integral education. We also need to start courses for integral education, like what we have in the Wisdom of Kabbalah, yeah, like campuses, you know. So we have to have this for integral education as well, both in English and Spanish, in a broad manner with many different courses and working with women and children and young couples and adults, people who are in prisons or in old age homes. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of material. There's a lot of material about on it. And we have to start as many courses as possible, and we don't need to wait until something comes from Israel or in terms of a new material, and until it's translated and so forth. What they have to develop based on there then has to be developed. So in 2 weeks or so also, I think we're opening a Kabbalah campus, if I'm not wrong, in December 4, the new education center starts, and we have to make a good effort.